This morning's reading is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 1 to 10, followed by verses 17 to 24 and verses 32 to 35. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband. Verse 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who is called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Verse 32. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can I have the PowerPoint slide, please? Church, good morning to you. First slide. First slide, please. right to the beginning. Church, if you think that this is the title for a wedding, you're wrong. But today's sermon do come with PG rating. Not parental guidance, but pastoral guidance. You may hear something that may tempt you to, under the pew, kick your spouse, or elbow, or poke at your spouse. Or you may give your spouse that classic look. See, I told you. Please resist that temptation. But on a more serious note, today's sermon may stir some difficult emotions and deep questions. And if it does, I want to encourage you to come for prayer, or please come and talk to some of your pastors and your leaders on a confidential basis. Don't walk alone. And church, if you are ready now, tighten your seatbelt and let us pray. Father, grant us the grace to receive your word. Let your word become light, life, and love for us. For we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, we rarely talk about sex in our normal weekend services. Maybe in a marriage preparation or in marriage retreat, but usually not during the weekend, unless the text confronts sexual sin like it did in 1 Corinthians 5. We all know by now that Corinth was a sexually permissive city. Sex was deeply woven into public life, religion, social status, and commerce. And so, if Corinth is a modern Netflix series, it would probably come with the warning, viewer discretion strongly advised. Or maybe in our Singapore rating, M18, not suitable for under 18. I'm scanning the congregation now. I think we are all adults here. There's no under 18 here. And so we can proceed. And the culture, that culture had not left the church. It had seeped into it. One man was sleeping with his stepmother. Some believers was defending the right to visit prostitutes. But in chapter 7, the problem is not only too much sex, but some converts thought spirituality meant no sex at all. And so, the Corinthian church wrote to Paul with real life questions, not hypothetical ones. Should married couples stop having sex? Should engaged couples still get married? If my spouse is not a Christian, should I leave? Is singleness better than marriage? If I am single or widowed, what is the best step forward? These are no small questions. Paul started by quoting their statement in verse 1. It is good for a man not to have sexual relationships with a woman. Is Paul trying to reduce? So was this finally holiness for the Corinth church? Letting Christ, not culture, define them? Not really. Because underneath it all, they were still thinking like Corinth. Many separate the spiritual from the physical. Spirit means good. Body means unimportant. So some concluded that spirituality meant rejecting bodily desires altogether. And Paul brought them back to this central truth. You were bought with a price. And he already used this phrase earlier in chapter 6, verse 20. In other words, you no longer belong to Corinth. You belong to Christ. So let your whole life, your body, your sexuality, your marriage, your singleness, relationship, all be shaped by Christ. And how did Paul help the church to do that? He reoriented the church back to their identity in Christ with four key phrases. Give, call, remain, undivided devotion. Let's start with give. Each one has his own gift from God. The Greek word Paul used here was charisma. Charisma means grace gift. The same word Paul used for spiritual gifts. Marriage is a grace gift. Singleness is a grace gift. Both come from God. So neither is an entitlement or a right. Both require grace to live well. And so, Paul began honestly with desire. Because of temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Is Paul reducing marriage to sex? Or was he just being practical, realistic? Sexual desire is powerful. He talked about self-control in the passage, and Christian discipleship must speak honestly about it. Then Paul said something shocking to the ancient world. The husband should give his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. And I must read this louder. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but his wife does, to remind me. In the ancient world, husbands commonly claim rights over wives. Wives rarely have equal voice. But Paul insisted here on what? On mutual rights and authority. Paul is single. Where did he get this from? Paul's understanding of marriage and sex was shaped by the cross of Christ. This is what Tim Keller noted. What does the cross teach? The cross teaches that love is not self-centered consumption. Instead, it is a self-giving sacrifice. So marriage intimacy is not what I can take from you, but how can I faithfully give myself to you? Marriage and sex have become covenantal self-giving. I'm not sure about you. Anyone who is married or even unmarried will know that self-giving is hard. It's very hard. I'm married for more than 40 years now. Self-giving is hard and very hard. Just ask my wife. Or as the joke goes, when you marry your spouse, you not only marry a person, okay? You not only marry someone, you also marry your in-laws. The family expectation, the WhatsApp group chat, the yearly battle over Chinese New Year visitation schedule. What was meant to be two in one have now become many in one. And that is even before we talk about mutual sacrifice and giving. Paul also said that singleness is not plan B or second class. In Korean, identity came from status. Married, respectable. Sexually free, powerful. Celibate, spiritually elite. Paul overturned Korean status system. Marriage is good. Sex in marriage is good. Singleness is also good, whether chosen or not. Neither state defines your worth. Neither state makes you more spiritual. Both are gifts for faithful living, and both need the grace of God. So, the real question is not which is better, but how are you stewarding the life God has given you? Why? Because Christ, not marriage, not sex, not singleness, is our fulfillment. Christ is our ultimate fulfillment. Our whole life belongs to Him. So, whether you are married or single, your life is a gift. You belong wholly to Christ. The second phrase, called. Next, Paul deepened the point. Five times he used the word kaleo to call, summon, appoint. Our life is not only a gift. Our life is also a calling. When we think about calling, we often think of ministry, maybe mission, a dramatic voice from heaven saying, go. But Paul used it more broadly. First, God calls us into salvation and belonging to Christ. Then, secondly, He calls us to live faithfully in our present situation. Our life is not random. Our work, our family, our responsibilities, even our struggles are not outside God's notice. Calling is not escaping the present or the ordinary life for a more spiritual one. It is recognizing that God is already present in your situation. Brother Lawrence understands this well. He spent much of his life washing dishes in a monastery. Not preaching, not leading cell groups, just washing dishes. And yet he said, the time of business does not differ from the time of prayer. He found God in the ordinary life. The Corinthians thought, to become spiritual, I need a different situation status. But Paul said, what if God is already at work where you are? What if your present season is already holy ground? Sometimes we think, if only I can change job. If only I can get married. If only I can change my spouse. If only I retire. If only my children grow up, then my spiritual life will be different. Paul says, no, 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 no. Let God meet you in whatever situation you are in. Why? Because your present life is a holy calling. You belong to God. The third word, remain. Paul repeatedly used this word again and again. Remain. Meno means abide, stay rooted. It is the same word Jesus used in John 15, abide in me. Paul is not praising stagnation or passive resignation. He was not saying that every change is wrong. Sometimes change is necessary, especially in unhealthy, abusive, or destructive situations. What Paul is trying to address here is our restless heart. The belief that if our situation changes, we will be finally whole. But as we have heard before, Christ is already present where you are. And if Christ is there, don't you want to be there? Eugene Peterson called it a long obedience in the same direction. Henry Nguyen added, our life is full of opportunities to live, but staying is often where transformation happens. But the key phrase is not just remain. It is to remain with God. Remain with God. Not just in your job. Remain with God in your job. Not in your marriage. Remain with God in your marriage. Not in your singleness. Remain with God in your singleness. Nowadays, we're panning over two things. One, low battery or no Wi-Fi or data coverage. Because once that connection is lost, we feel restless. We feel disorientated. In the same way, remaining with Christ helps us to stay rooted. Why? Because our identity no longer comes from status, from success, from relationship, from freedom, or achievement. It comes from Christ. You are bought with a price. We belong to Christ now. Our identity is in Christ. So, remain in Him. Paul's point about spirituality is not escaping your current situation, but belonging and remaining with Christ within that situation. So remaining means contentment, trust, and faithful rootedness in God. Stay rooted in contentment, trust, and faithfulness. You belong wholly to God. Fourth phrase, undivided devotion. And now, Paul arrives at the deepest issue beneath the whole chapter. The deepest issue is not whether someone is married or single. The deepest issue is the heart before the Lord. Notice in verse 32 to 34, what Paul was saying and what Paul was not saying. Paul is not condemning marriage. In fact, all throughout the chapter, Paul honors marriage as legitimate and a good calling from God. Nor was he romanticizing singleness as superior least spiritual. Paul observed that married people naturally carry additional earthly concerns, caring for the spouses, for the family, for responsibilities. There are bills to think of, emotional burdens. These are not distractions. They are covenantal obligation. At the same time, the married person may possess a certain freedom, availability, and flexibility for ministry and service to the Lord, or even concerns about their future. Paul was drawing several contrasts here. Unmarried and married, worldly concerns and the Lord's concern, pleasing a spouse and pleasing the Lord. But Paul's chief contrast was about anxieties and undivided devotion. When Paul talked about anxieties, he was referring to divided attention, competing concerns, and practical responsibilities. Then he used the contrasting word, epiripastos, which means undivided devotion, literally not pulled apart. The image is a heart not pulled apart in different direction, but pulled towards the Lord. Undivided devotion is then not merely about having fewer activities or distraction. Of course, that helps. But it is about a greater love, an inward readiness, an eagerness for the things of God because we belong to Christ. So the real question is, where is your heart going? Is our life been gathered towards Christ or pulled apart among a thousand competing lamps? We live in a digital age. We are a generation that with one eye, we look to God. The other eye, we are checking our notification. We read scriptures and we are replying to messages. We sit with family while strolling our phones. Some of us do not need persecution to lose focus, just a vibrating phone. And even now, I'm sure some of you are already thinking about what to have for dinner while listening to this sermon. Our attention fragments, our desires scatter, fear, success, busyness, comparison and entertainment, approval, anxiety, all pull at our soul. As I was preparing this sermon, I noticed my heart pull in a few directions. One part of me worried about whether this sermon will be good enough, whether my points, my jokes will land with you, whether I preach well. Another part of me asked what we were singing just now. Is Christ the center of this sermon? Is it all about Christ? Am I hearing the Father's voice for this sermon? One pull to myself, the other pulls to Christ. Undivided devotion means that even in the midst of life, many responsibility and distractions, the heart keeps returning again and again to Christ. Like a compass. You can shake the compass, the needle always points north. So does the undivided, devoted heart. It may be shaken, yet it returns again and again to God. Undivided devotion sounds like very demanding. But notice Paul's tenderness. I say this not to lay any restraint upon you. The word restraint carries the sense of a rope thrown over someone. Paul was not tightening a rope around believers. He is not creating a new law. Good Christian must stay single. Good Christian must avoid earthly responsibility. Good Christian must be undividedly devoted. No, this is grace, not legalism. It is not about earning God's love or approval. It is a life centered and remaining in the Lord. And a life centered on the Lord is a heart continually returning to Christ, who already claims us as his own. Return your heart again and again to Christ in undivided devotion. You belong to Christ. I invite the music team to come up now. Today, the invitation is not merely to understand these truths. Gift, calling, remaining, undivided devotion. The invitation is to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit. As you have heard, today is Pentecost Sunday. And at Pentecost Sunday, the Lord pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Why? Because we cannot live this life alone. We need the Spirit to help us belong wholly to Christ. We need the Spirit to help us receive our lives as gift. We need the Spirit to help us remain faithful in our calling. We need the Spirit to gather our scattered hearts into undivided devotion. And so at Pentecost, we commemorate the Spirit pouring on all flesh, which means every one of you here, everyone. And I'm going to have an extended response time for you to sit down there and just become aware again of this precious gift that God has given to each and every one of you. And this is a gift that God likes to give to everyone. And so, as the music team help us to sing this song, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. It may be unfamiliar to you, so just sit and listen. Just stay. Just stay in the presence of the Holy Spirit. There will be distraction. Definitely there will be distraction. All right? As we sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit, but turn your heart back north to the Lord.
Come on. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. As we lay aside all earthly desires. reach out in our hands. A spark, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
As the music plays on, church, I invite you to close your eyes. Let's remain. Let's stay in the presence of God. When Jesus was baptized, heaven opened and the Spirit came upon Jesus. At Pentecost, you're all very familiar, there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Church, something changed in the atmosphere when the Spirit came near. So even now here, of course the Spirit will come differently for different ones of us, but just stay, just sit in this atmosphere because the Spirit is here. This morning, at E1 service, there was a message that was given. Tell my children not to be afraid of me or my Spirit, but draw near. And as you come near, to just remain. Some of you may already begin to feel a stillness. Maybe a certain expectancy. Maybe just a gentle awareness. Or maybe nothing. Don't force anything. Do not strive. Just stay in the presence of the Holy Spirit. As we use this song again, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to just help us to enter and to stay.
Holy Spirit, we welcome
you. You might like to sing along now that you're more familiar with the song.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Oh, among us we pour.
As we lay aside all earthly desires,
let's reach out in our hearts a spark, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
As the music play on, I just ask you to close your eyes and just stay, remain in the presence of God and the Spirit here moving among us. Just let the Spirit descend upon us. When the Spirit descended on Jesus, when he was baptized, it came like a dove. Quiet, gentle, tender, peaceful. But at Pentecost, the Spirit came like fire, powerful, visible, and tangible. The Holy Spirit, as we know, is both gentle and powerful, but we need not be afraid of it. So just stay and allow the Spirit to minister to you, whether quietly or powerfully. Let the Spirit minister to you. Something may be happening to your body. Something may be happening to your heart. Something may be happening to your mind. Maybe there's a warmth. Maybe there's a peace. Maybe there's a deep joy. Maybe there's renewed courage or clarity or love or deep assurance. Like what we have sang just now, if you have caught a glimpse of that, even a small glimpse, don't let it go. Don't let it go. Stay with it. Thank God for it. Lord, I want more. I want more of your Spirit. I want more. Stay there. Stay there. We are not rushing to this time together, because the Spirit wants to come to minister to each and every one of you. Stay there and just enjoy. Stay there. Stay there. Remain there. As we sing the verse a third time, to help us to just stay there, just continue to open up your hearts and your hands to the Lord.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Breeze of your presence, surfaces blow, gathers your children hereby through the door. Clouds
above in the Spirit flow.
Holy Spirit. We welcome you.
You're good.
Holy Spirit.
We welcome you.
As the music play on, church, I'm going to invite you to stand. If you want to receive afresh the Holy Spirit, at Pentecost, the Spirit was poured on all flesh. It's a gift for all of us. And so, hear the invitation of God. Receive my Spirit anew. And we do that by faith. Your standing up is just a sign of opening your heart and your being to the Lord. And as we receive the Spirit of together, I ask you to stand. When Jesus received the Holy Spirit, he heard these words, "You are my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with you." There was love. There was approval. There was delight. At Pentecost, when the Spirit came, there was empowerment. There was the speaking of tongues. There was prophecy. There was boldness. There was weakness. There was new life. So simply open your life now and let the Spirit have His own way. As we just stay for a while, if you speak in tongues, you can speak quietly down and just continue to invite your Spirit, to invite the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And just quietly pray. We need your Spirit, Lord, your Spirit to fill us again, your Spirit to teach us to belong wholly to Christ, your Spirit to help us to receive our life as a gift, your Spirit to help us remain faithful in our calling, your Spirit to help us abide in every season, and your Spirit to form within us and in undivided devotion to Christ. And as we sing the chorus one final time, cry it out in your heart aloud, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Please accomplish in me today some new work of loving grace. I pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.